they stop getting from you what you got to give, then they're done with you. This world doesn't like you if you're not in its groove. I remember just this week, Ryan called, and bless his heart, he's doing pretty good there at the basic training, but he's been writing letters to people, and he says, send boxes of food. So he's never been shy, he's like, can I have that, okay? And so his aunt sent him 3 bags of Snickers bars. He was king for a day, because he can't eat them all. He can't take them with him, and he can't eat them all. He can't take them all. So he had to give everybody candy, and he was king for a day. Do you know, you're king for a day. The world understands that he that giveth gifts hath many friends. We ought to be that kind of people who have at least enough intelligence to know that, you know, if I really want to win some, I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to give them something. I'm going to be, you know, kind to them, whether it's kindness or stuff. I'm going to do that if I can. I've been kind of hooking up with a buddy of mine, trying to get him to come out and visit. And I grew up with him. He was a high school friend, very close friend at the time. And I told him about a job, and now I'm in the process of researching it to get all the information so I can go back a second time with my little packet of information and say, here's where it is, here's what it is, here's what they pay, here's what it is, here's the benefits, and try to get him on the right road. Give gifts, got many friends. And I'm not just doing it for that reason. I'm doing it because I want to win him to my Savior. But the fact of the matter is, you and I understand the dynamic. I would go to work with a bunch of painters, and they're worse than sailors. And man, they were just wicked, and it was evil, and it was tough. It was hard sometimes to be with them. But you know, God gave me a love for those guys, and I had the privilege of winning about 2 or 3 of them to the Lord in my 5-year stint there in Cleveland. But here's the thing. I would go in, and I'd take little pieces of chocolate, and I'd throw it to the guys during our break. Said, hey, you want cheese? And they're like, woohoo, you the man, you know? They don't even like me, you know? I'm a Christian. I don't laugh at their jokes. I don't go where they go. I don't join them for a beer after work. But I'm the man for a moment. And if something goes south in the job, I don't step up and say, he did it. I just kind of keep my silence. You know, and if they're going to ream us all out, we'll all be reamed out. That's fine with me. I'm willing for that because God's in control. My point is this. He that gives gifts. And the Bible says in this passage that they would leave him half dead. They departed from him. They dismissed him. And that's what some of us feel like. Some of us feel like our parents dismissed us. Some of us feel like our world dismissed us. Some of us have fallen into bad times in high school. And man, we still haven't recovered from the pain that we got from that. But it says left him half dead. And therein lies a couple words you ought to underline. Half dead. It's hemithanos. Thanatos is for death, but hemisphere, you've heard it, hemisphere. Hemithanos. Not all dead, half dead, because, see, it was the spirit that died. It was the conscience that died. It was the wound that was mortal, that left us literally bleeding on the side of the road, trying to cope in any way we could. But half dead. Because there was a Savior who was going to come and try to do whatever he could as the great physician to heal our wound and to bring us to life again. Now what we see is he left us half dead. And what's very interesting is there's a word here that's not even translated. It's a word, tachano. It literally means to hit the mark. In other words, it literally has the idea that they had accomplished their goal. In other words, these thieves had the job. They didn't want to kill him. They didn't want to be known as murderers. They just wanted to be thieves. But they wounded, and they left him half dead, and they hit their mark. And I think of Joseph, where the Bible says when he was in his heyday and his brothers were before him, he said, but as for you, you thought evil against people. God meant it for good. Listen, God let you be hurt. God let you bleed because he wanted to get your attention. He wanted to show you and me that this world is no friend of grace and that it is not really to be trusted. You know, if you do what the world says to do, you'd never work. You'd eat everything. You'd blow off work. You'd chase skirts all the day long if you were a fat fella. You'd chase men if you were a woman. This world would tell you every lie if you take it to its clearest, most obvious answer. I mean, what is it saying? In all of its plain A, the Bible says God's going to send in the last days strong wandering, plain A. We get the word planet from it. It means wanderings. The idea, it'll take your mind out there and bring it back. It'll take your mind out there and bring it back. And after a while, you're thinking, you know, it's not so bad. Everybody's going out there and coming back. I just will go out a little ways. because I'm a Christian. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're going to find out whether in a moment. But understand this, that the wounds have a purpose. God lets you get hurt. God lets you feel pain to teach you. Okay? So don't leave it. Don't let it leave you as it finds you. So we see that the world's full of hoodlums. But then I want you to see the helpers that this world provides. Verse 31 says, and by chance there came down a certain priest, that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Very interesting. These are the helpers, you know. Psychological circles like to refer to themselves as helpers. In fact, a lot of our Christian circles from the pulpit have become more psychologically astute. You'll hear how to have success, how to overcome depression, how to this, that, and the other, and everything's kind of tailored toward a psychology Christianity because it's popular. In fact, the world really likes the psychologist. If you want to know, and you have a real strong conviction in your soul about Christ and about the Word of God, you can become one of the shakers and movers by becoming a Christian therapist. You can do it, but it is a very precarious situation because you can find yourself being thrown over the side of just being everything secularized, just doing it the way the world does it. Quoting Erickson and Rogers, and quoting Freud and all the ones that are out there, you can find yourself quoting them more than Paul and John and Peter and Jesus, you see. And these helpers came, and it says that this one priest was coming down, which means he also was coming down. It's kind of giving us a clue. He came from Jerusalem down. He's done. He's probably just done his circuit up here in Jerusalem. He's served in the temple. And you got to realize that when you worked in Jerusalem as a priest, you were busy all the time because there's a whole lot of sinners in Jerusalem, and the priest's job were to take a sinner at the door and bring him in and let them kill their offering and catch the blood and fly the offering. I mean, all day long, a priest was looking at the consequences of sin. And the consequences of sin were, because I've sinned, this animal's got to die. Because I deserve to die. And God's going to receive this animal for now until Jesus comes. They didn't know it was Jesus at the time, but until God makes it perfect lamb available, something God's got to do. But for now, this is what he's prescribed. So the helper was the guy who was looking all day, and he was seeing, as it were, the pictures set forth in every sacrifice, and there were different ones for different sins. And it's very, very powerful because he should have been the one who was most pitiful to this guy laying there. You know, he might have known the moms and the dads or the hoodlums that just plundered this guy, you know. He might have been the one who, you know, offered up their parents' sacrifices and asked for sacrifices to be offered on behalf of their kids. But the fact is, he should have had pity. He should have had an idea in his mind. And what I want you to realize is that even in that day, religion wasn't the answer. Well, what are we doing? I hope you don't feel like this is religion. When I talk about when I was working in the painter's crowd up there in Cleveland, I want you to know that Christians are people. They're just average, everyday people. We gather here around this book. It's not about the church building, and it's not about me. It's about God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. That's eternal life. And if you know him, the religiosity thing is not going to be a problem. Back in that day, priests, don't picture a guy who's a priest today, because that's a totally different thing there. You see, God says we're all priests, believer priests. We all have a right to enter in and intercede as Christians. Only believers now, but all believers are priests in the sense that we offer up spiritual sacrifices of what? Praise unto our God, even the fruit of our lips. You see, that's our sacrifice now. Here's my point. You look at this. He's laying there bleeding and suffering. He's got a plague, if you will. And they're looking and saying, I don't have anything to do with that. Now, let me tell you what a motto of a business sense today is. A business sense is, if you don't look good, you can't get help. I was talking to Mark one day because he works for a big company that you know, he was telling me something he perceived a long time ago probably about the, you know, see that picture on, or that commercial on TV, Progressive, they'll tell you everybody else's prices. How many of you ever saw that commercial? They'll tell you everybody. Oh, put it right out there. Mark says, man, the databases are so full. So what they do is they get you to give them all of your information, and then they ask themselves, do we want them? Now, if you've got a great record, theirs is going to be the best. But if you're not so good, they'll send you to State Farm. And they'll tell you their quote, and they'll come out a little higher than that, and you're going to go for the cheaper one because you wouldn't have been shopping on their site if you didn't. See? The point is that this is the way the world works, and it's the way the church works. Read James. The Bible says a man comes in with a ring, fine clothes. You said, sit down here. Somebody comes in poor. You say, sit back there. No, sit down here. Be this guy's footstool. You see, religion is not the answer. And for some people, we got bit by religion because we went to church and we thought, you know, church is where I should be accepted. We went in there and we got smacked. We got bit. We got hurt. In fact, the next guy is the Levite. You see, you got the priest coming down. I want to show you this Levite because he has a little nuance to give us as well. It says, not only did this guy do and pass by on the other side, but verse 32 says, likewise, a Levite, when he was in that place, came and looked on him. It almost seems as if he walked up to him and looked on him. But the eyes are the same. The very words are the same about looking on him. They both looked with the same eyes. They were religious eyes, and they both did the same thing. They passed by. Religion does not save. I was talking to a guy this past week. I was hoping he'd be here this morning because I invited him. And the fact of the matter was he was talking God all the time. He was really funny, very friendly guy, very nice guy, talking about God, talking about his history, talking about his background. But every time he mentioned religious things, it was always God and good, being good. God and being good. You got to believe in God. You got to trust God. You got to go to church. You got to this. And yet he had been brought up a Baptist. Now, you don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven, but like a friend of mine used to say, why take a chance? You know? The fact of the matter is that this thing called religion, it is not what saves. It's not about being good. And when you look at this passage, you see the Levite and the priest coming down, but the Levite is a different nuance. See, Levi was a tribe of people who descended from the man Levi, one of the 12 sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you got Levites, and only the sons of Aaron in that tribe got to be priests. Okay? All the rest of the Levites were servants. They were professional servants. So, seems like if anybody would have picked the guy up and helped him out, it would have been the professional servant. But no, the professional servant looked at it, and he thought about it, and he reasoned in his heart, even though he was a professional servant. And both of these men seem to be coming down again from Jerusalem, so they're both coming out of a time of worship, probably. Should have had their hearts on right, their heads on right, their eyes in their head, and thinking clearly. They looked, they passed by, and even the professional servant went away. Now, here's what I want you to see. And if you want to write something down today that will help us to remember what we're saying, reality is revealed in our reasoning. Now think about that. What I'm saying is, when this guy came and he looked, he was able to walk away. And I said to you a moment ago that not everybody who says they're saved is saved. Not all religion is true religion. And really, the real issue was when you look at somebody who's beaten. Now, I'm not talking about somebody bloody on the road. Hopefully none of us would be so, you know, calloused as to walk away from somebody who needs a call from 911 and somebody there to hold their hand and pray with them right while they're hurting on the side of the road. Hopefully none of us would be that bad, but the extreme is trying to make a point. Now here is the application. The application is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? It's the one who's been plundered, been hurt, been beaten, and yet we walk away. We see that they're broken. We see that they stutter. We see that they stumble. We see that they're irritating. We see that no one likes them, and so we don't like them either. But what is our reasoning? Because if you really think about it, why is it you won't befriend the lesser? Jesus said that we're supposed to be poor in spirit. That we're supposed to, once we're poor in spirit, what we will be is we will be merciful. You see, that's going to lead, if you really have a clue about who you are and how you don't deserve a place in the room, then it'll help you be a lot more deliberate in your looking at somebody else and thinking, you know, yeah, they're broken, yeah, they're hurting, but you know what? I know a great physician. See, nobody can make right what has been made wrong by this world but Jesus. And if you want to go to a psychologist and a psychiatrist, you want to have years and years of therapy, fine. That's a place you can go. And they are plunderers too. You know, it's very, very seldom that people do helping for free. There are crisis lines for suicide victims, right? They'll call, but and they're doing that voluntarily. But, you know, it's pretty pricey. It's pretty big business, helping. I'm a pastor. You need some help, you call me, and I won't charge you. Can I get a witness? The Word of God, it's a cleansing agent. It's like a scalpel. And it cuts both ways. It cuts me when I'm preaching, just like it cuts you. And we're all in the same room together, and hopefully we all go away with something more than we had when we came in. But the fact of the matter is that this guy should have been the man who was helping him, and he wasn't. And he wasn't willing to, because he was able to reason through this thing, and he could see that he really didn't want to get involved with it. Jesus indicted those people in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, where he said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." God forbid that be our epitaph on our word, on our life. We honor Him with our lips, we draw near to Him with our mouths, but with our hearts, we don't have really any interest in who He really is. Now, I go here because what's happening right now, is that the scalpel is really deep in our hearts for a moment. It really is. And we're pulling back the flesh a little, and we're looking at ourselves. I hope you are. Because the fact is this is a word from God, and He says, you know what? What would you have done? And then you say, well, He was bleeding, I'd have helped Him. Well, wait a minute. What do you do? He wants us to see that. He wants us to see that. And He wants us to be out loud in our reasoning. Because there are people that we don't want to associate with, and yet we say we are Christians. What we may be, though, is religious. And we don't want to die on that hill. We don't want to die in that corner. And that we don't want to be